This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
You should see the party that goes on whenever the intro comes on. And Denise is throwing a little party over there.
I have
by
to
herself.
Do my jazz hands and raise the roof to get, you know, to get the energy level up to do.
Is that
to
how you do
my
it?
Favorite hour of the week?
I used to do jumpy jacks.
Oh, well, I'm doing, it's kind of like jumping jacks, but they're seated jumping jacks.
Yeah, and those are nice. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just my little pre-show ritual.
Nice.
Jazz hands, raise the roof. Here we go.
Nice.
It's Wednesdays with Denise and Dave.
First one of the year.
I know. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Did you have a good holiday?
I did. It was weird to have kind of 2 weeks off because the Christmas and New Year's both fell on the Wednesday. So I'm
right?
Like, wow, I have 2 weeks. What am
scored.
I going to do?
Did you go anywhere?
Well, no, not really. It was nice. It was quiet. And I did not accumulate any new stuff over Christmas. We really made a point.
How did that happen?
I made a point of just, you know, we kept it to one thing. My husband got night vision goggles for Christmas.
Ooh, that's cool.
And then
cool.
We went with things that are useful. And so I thought, night vision goggles, there's something useful.
Did you get a blender or a vacuum cleaner then?
I did.
Did you really?
But I wanted it. It's a robot vacuum cleaner.
Oh, wow.
So I love her. Her name is Edie, and she cleans my house when I'm at work, and I adore her.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So I'm one of those wives, you got me a vacuum cleaner, but she's Edie, and she's a robot, and so she's great.
Wife went overboard on boxer shorts and shirts and undershirts and... socks, yeah.
See, useful things. I'm all about useful things as I've gotten
and,
a little
and
bit
a
older.
Tool chest for all my tools because nice. We just moved into a new house and my tools are in different places. I have a black carry bag that I have that has most of the tools in it, but we also have a white cabinet and a shelf. And
okay, so now you're organized.
So now I can put it all in one place.
Excellent. Smart
and it rolls around.
Smart woman. Yeah. Smart woman. Well, we are, you know, we're going to get right out of the gate here. We're going to go right into politics because that's what we do.
Slap them around.
So we have a guest who's been a guest on the show before, and, you know, listeners will recognize him. He is the chair of the Marion County Republican Party. Jeff Hyen, welcome to Newsmakers on Wednesdays with Denise and Dave.
Thank you both.
It's
to
good
be
to
be here.
He's not sure.
You and your boxer shorts. Well,
boxer
know.
Shorts and jazz hands here. Okay, and robot vacuums.
We're moving up.
Politics, man. 2020. 2019,
wow.
We survived. I don't know how many of us needed, you know, a nap and multiple showers and adult beverages to get through 2019.
You might want to stock up for 2020. We don't even talk about national politics. Just leave that one at the curb.
There's enough on our plate with local that, you know, we can leave national to the we can let Rush handle and Rush and Glenn handle national. We'll talk.
Absolutely.
So there are a number of things coming up. And one of the main reasons I wanted to have you here, not only in your role as Marion County Chair, because there's a lot to talk about with that, but we have there's a big event coming up that kind of ties back into 2019 when we saw a lot of new political activism among groups that really had not been politically active before. All of a sudden, 2019 kind of got people up out of their chairs, out of their houses, literally in a truck, on a road, in a convoy.
I call 2019 the Great Awakening.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. I think it's true. And so there's a group that has harnessed that, and there's an event coming up. So it's called Oregon Grassroots United.
United.
What did I say? Reunited?
Reunited.
Kind of reunited. We all kind of got together last year. But this is more of a celebration, a party. So tell everybody what this is. You know, let's give some details about it.
So the deets on it are, it's... the 17th, which is a Friday night.
Okay, so that's 2 weeks.
Next Friday.
A week from Friday.
Right. Okay, right.
Today's official Friday. Start time, 7 p.m. Okay. Things will be open a little bit earlier than that for people to socialize and get a drink and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Kaiser Community Center.
Perfect. Okay.
City of Kaiser, right there, middle of town.
Yeah.
And it's going to have a whole host of all of these groups, like you noted, that... Yeah. Really have had an awakening.
Yeah.
So let me just run you off the list of groups that are involved. Of course, Oregon Republican Party is sponsoring it mainly because we need a PAC to do things with it.
Sure.
Timber Unity. Western Liberty Network, Richard Burke and his group. Freedom Believers, which is the group that is actually our Rational Believer folks. Oregonians for Medical Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You all know about them.
Yeah.
They are after it. Slavic Vote, which is a great group of folks really getting active, especially in getting folks in the Slavic Christian churches involved, which has been so a long time since any of that group. And the same thing for the Russian Believers.
Yeah, I'm actually working on getting someone to come on the show to talk about that, because that's a really interesting dynamic. It is, I know.
It's huge. And of course, then our premier firearms defense group, Oregon Firearms Federation,
Kevin
and Kevin
Starrett.
Yeah.
Yes.
So all of these groups are coming together. The goal really is to get these folks, you know, it's almost like a huddle before before the game kicks off, because short session is going to be potentially really ugly.
I was going to say it may even be harder. It's 35 days. Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff coming fast and furious at people. It's going to be whack-a-mole.
It is.
Trying to keep up with it all. So, you know, last year was a regular session, 2019, and it was still difficult and mobilized. But you've got these groups, and some of them are nationally known now for their efforts. Timber Unity in particular.
Oh, they've taken off. And same. Well, the medical freedom is all over the country as well. So, but yeah, those groups were instrumental.
Mm-hmm, those two.
In putting the axe to a number of really, really bad bills last time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody's still kind of looking at the tea leaves and trying to figure out what they're going to try to pull in the short session in 2020. But, you know, it's hard to say. But I think one of the big things out there is the cap and swindle or cap and tax thing.
It's cap and swindle.
And just recently, even one of our senators, Fred Girard, they've been talking, and, you know, behind the scenes and all of that. And he's like, yep, I ain't doing this. This is just a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
It's the same old crap thrown in a different box.
Exactly. There was an article, I think, in the Capital Press today about that, where, you know, they're, you know, supposedly under the guy, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we'll work with you, come to the table.
Yeah, right.
And realistically, it doesn't sound like there is any of that.
I don't think so.
But then aren't they even getting pushback on the other side from environmental, more leftist groups that they've watered it down to appease?
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
It's a no-win thing for Oregon for sure. And Timber Unity is huge, you know, in opposition to anything that would do that. Would just absolutely destroy, you know, so many jobs in Oregon, not to mention just a whole host of other things. But then you also have potential Second Amendment stuff, right? You know, the pastors up in Portland, you know, that they don't represent me.
No, nor do they.
They're wanting to bring, you know, firearms or legislation. And then, you know, who knows what else is going to come. But probably the thing that happened recently in Texas might have taken that off the table, I think.
You want to remind everybody what happened in Texas? Because I think that changed the narrative.
Oh, it did.
To a degree.
It did. Well, a couple weeks back in a church in Texas, just outside of Fort Worth, I think it was. Well, regardless of where it was some goofy loon dude that came in, and they had actually helped this guy before, which is really the strange thing.
Yeah.
Came in and he decided he wanted to cause mayhem with a shotgun, and it lasted all of about 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it only lasted that long is because a good guy with a gun and with a darn good aim was able to stop the carnage before it hardly got started. Now, we lost two sheepdogs, which is really, really sad, deacon and another security personnel person, but, you know, the police were there in 2 or 3 minutes, which is astounding, not anywhere close to national average. Imagine if you would have had a national average police response and
nobody
with a gun.
Nobody there.
We would have had a lot heavier casualties.
Potentially been a massacre.
Totally would have been.
Yeah.
6 seconds and it was over.
And that, again, that shows you the efficacy of having well-trained people, good guy with a gun, and, you know, the narrative, too, that, you know, if people have a gun there, it's going to be flailing, and it's like, no, these were extremely responsible, didn't take a shot unless there was one. This gentleman had a shot, took it, and here we are.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that right there has, that really brought the awakening up nationally. It's like, okay, how do you argue that good people with firearms are a good thing?
Yeah.
And so I almost think that might have quashed some of the ideas, maybe, hopefully, of any Second Amendment nonsense. I'm sure they'll try something, but, you know, that raised the spotlight on that issue.
Which is good that Kevin Starrett and Oregon Firearms Federation will be there at this. So people hearing this, who've heard about these groups in, you know, in 2019, saw the news reports, may work downtown like I do, and saw the convoy, heard the convoy, was just loving every second of that.
And there's another one coming.
I know there is. So we'll talk a little bit about that too.
Yeah.
But so there, you know, if somebody wants to go to this, these groups are going to be there to talk to people, to share their vision, to get people involved.
Yes. The whole goal of it is to bring all those different groups under one roof. So one, they can meet each other. I mean, yeah. They met each other at the Capitol at different times, but we need to get all these folks to know who they are. And then we're going to hear from leadership from both our House and Senate Republican caucuses.
Excellent.
To kind of give the latest update on what we expect is coming and how best to work together to stop this nonsense.
This is a good thing.
This is what the other side has done for years.
They're really good at
they all have a kumbaya and they come together and they go do the same thing and, you know, it's worked.
Right. And that's why I'm so glad to see this unity, because we don't tend to do that. It tends to be like herding cats a lot of times with Republicans.
Well, that's been the focus.
And conservatives in general, because not everybody in these groups is a Republican. I definitely want to make that clear.
Not at all.
There are people from all walks of life. These are people that love freedom and liberty.
Right.
And that crosses party lines.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, most of those groups are nonpartisan by nature.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's going to be, I'm sure there'll be Democrats. And I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
We need them, because there are, you know, contrary to what most people make me sound like, I actually do believe there are some sensible Democrats out there.
I know there are. I've talked to them. Yeah. I've met them. Some of them are in my own family, and a lot of them are very disillusioned and disenfranchised by their own party. And you see how far left and how crazy wackadoo it's gone. I mean, I've had talks with millennials who are on the lefter side of the spectrum,
especially
who are just
in our
fed up with it.
Especially in our legislature.
Yeah.
You know, it's run by the uber left.
Yes.
Okay. There's even reasonable Democrats in our legislature, but they don't have a voice in their own party.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. Get these people together and get ready then to go for short session.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit more about that and about some of the other things that are coming down the pike. Maybe kind of get out our crystal balls and prognosticate about what 2020 might look like for all of us. But we are going to take that break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, everybody. We are talking all things local politics with Marion County Republican Party Chair Jeff Hyen. Yes. When we left, we were talking about this big event that's coming up, the Oregon Grassroots United event.
Yes.
And we need to tell people, if they hear this and they're like, I need to go to this.
Yeah, and they do need to go to this.
And they do need to go to this, because we're both going to be there.
Absolutely.
So they need to come say hi.
So first, I'll just recap. It's the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Next Friday.
7 p.m. Kaiser Community Center. You can get tickets online by going to the following address, secure.oregon.gop/OGU. Or look on our website
or
on our Facebook page.
We can link that in show notes.
Oh, sure. We can definitely do it.
Yeah.
I'll get
especially
all the information.
Especially people if they're driving. And
the key here is this is not an expensive event. It's $18.
Yeah, no, it's not. Okay. It's $36 bucks for a couple. So.
And that just covers our costs. We're not doing this to make money. We're not funding any campaigns. It's not a campaign gig.
Mm-hmm.
It's a unity gig.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, all of our proceeds are going to be put forward to a great local charity that supports foster families. It's called Connections 365.
Oh, wonderful.
And they do a tremendous amount in the local area to support our foster kids
and
their families and so on. So anything that we make, you know, over and above our expenses is going there. This isn't about making money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about bringing us together, uniting us, and preparing us to deal with 2020, which will talk more on
a
little while.
there's a lot of, you know, again, this is a short session. I am not a fan of short sessions.
No.
I think it's Senator Thatcher has a bill or has been floating out to just get rid of them. And I would, where do I sign up for that?
Well, they're not even doing what they're intended to do.
It was supposed to be a financial,
you know,
dotting I's, crossing T's,
just
quick, in and out.
Quick stuff in the budget that wasn't right.
And here we have cap and swindle coming down the pike in a 35-day short session.
Yeah.
Are you mad?
And towards the last part of that, they get down to a place literally where they have one hour floor notices for votes.
So how's somebody from Ontario supposed to get there?
Ain't happening.
It's not.
Heck, the legislators can hardly get their butts down there fast enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy. It's just more of the craziness that is Oregon.
And are they going to save the school budget for last, as always?
Well, that's always the carrot they hold above your head to get everything else, right?
Right.
They should pass that first.
Well, yeah.
I mean
they should, but you know, they've got other ideas, and this is where we're worried. You know, we don't know for sure what they're going to bring, but Obviously, cap and swindle, cap and taxes is up at the top of the list. Firearm stuff, even the medical freedom thing might poke its ugly head
That's
back
true.
Out again.
And that was a big fight. And the medical freedom moms, for the most part, mostly moms, were a fierce coalition out there that, you know, were unafraid and went out there. And, you know, unfortunately, they got smeared a little bit, which is sad because they were very, very effective.
Oh, but they've got a pack now. Have you seen?
They have
billboards all over Oregon.
I follow them on social media. They are wonderful. They are motivated and they're effective.
Yeah.
And so I have no doubt that they will be back in full force again if something like that, which we know it will. If not this session, it'll come in 2021.
Well, and that's the whole thing. And you know, I'd be remiss to say that if, you know, I don't want to have to have a kumbaya dinner every 2 years to try to rally the troops. We need to change what's going on in that house and who sits in those chairs.
Exactly. And that's where it comes down to. And that's where, you know, when we talk local politics on this show, to really focus on that. So that's at the state level.
Right.
One other thing
we should mention there is all these people are going to be encouraging their legislators and senators to do the right thing. And that might even mean exiting stage left again, if they need to. So,
hey, nobody is safe from a primary challenge.
Oh,
if you're
no.
not doing what you're supposed to be doing, what you campaigned on, what you were elected to do.
I know a lot of folks are in tight races and maybe even in some upside down districts, but guys, you got to stand up. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right. If you don't, and we lose.
Yeah, we lose. Okay, you get reelected, but who cares if you're just getting more of the same crap? So
I think that
got to fix this.
I agree with you.
And
they
got to be willing to stand up and exit stage left if need be.
If need be, because it's not necessarily.
Kind of like Trump. They got to stand up and say, it ain't happening.
It's not, and it's not necessarily about the individual holding the seat. It's about keeping that seat and keeping that.
Right.
Because we're behind the eight ball with numbers on both houses. So
yeah.
So that is the state level. Again, we don't get into too much national. Other than I'm been following what's been happening. I know you are, and many of our listeners are.
Especially but there's in Virginia. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Virginia is concerning. Virginia is kind of maybe the petri dish to watch how.
Well, that's what was going to happen here if it goes south.
Oh, that's coming our way.
Yeah.
So we can talk a little
more
about that perhaps. But I did want to get a little more local because, you know, local is the most important thing. Local elections matter. This is also a city council election year. We've got all the odd number seats are up.
Four of them.
Four elections. So that's 1, 3, 5, and 7.
Yes.
Of course, the mayor is up every 2 years.
Right.
The mayor gets to perpetually run for office.
Hasn't that been interesting how that's come about? And we've been seeing some local media, you know, local media people. I don't even want to call them media people. trolls? I don't know.
Wow.
There's a lot of that out there.
Well, it's interesting because there's always the statement that these are nonpartisan offices. And that is true. They are nonpartisan.
They are.
But there's definitely political ideologies that come in. Everybody who's running for these offices has a sort of a political bent.
There is no such thing as nonpartisan.
I know. It's
I'm
just
sorry.
That they don't
just,
have the letter after their name when they're
there
running.
Isn't.
I agree
yeah.
with you. So there's been some, there's a couple of people that are running that have agreed they're going to come and speak to the Republicans.
Yep.
Now, there are another group of people that think that's just horrifying, which is ridiculous.
We want to engage ourselves in those races and support our local candidates.
And
some of them might even be Democrats.
I know. And that's what I was going to say, because in years past, there have been races where, because this is nonpartisan and we don't necessarily know, you look at candidates and based on their record, based on what they're campaigning on and
that's
things
right.
like that, you can pick if you're looking at two Democrats. It's nice to be able to tell people who ask you, this guy or this gal is more in line with your values.
Right.
Vote for that person.
And that's the thing. You know, Chris Ann Hall, somebody I really admire a lot, does a gig where she says principle over politics.
Absolutely.
And party. Right.
Yes.
And when we look at local stuff, that's really where you need to be focused.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I'm obviously involved in the Republican camp because it's a mechanism for me to get things
exactly.
done.
Exactly. Right.
But when we look at local races like this, we want to be considering all different aspects. And so we've even made changes in our bylaws in the last couple of years, especially to these local levels, that allows us to do endorsements based on values more than party affiliation.
Exactly. And that's important in races like the mayoral race where you know, or any of them where you may have two that they could be non-affiliated, they could be two Democrats. Obviously, if there's a Republican and a Democrat and we know that you probably want to go. But I mean, in some weird instance, it may be that the Democrat is better.
There are some Democrats that actually are good folks and with, you know, good business principles that would be good as city councilors.
And you want to encourage, and a lot of times it's the same thing with sort of judge races. A lot of people tend to pay attention up at the national level, the state level, you get down mm-hmm. to the city council level, where in all actuality, the people that sit in those seats have much more of an effect on your daily life
totally.
Than certainly President Trump does.
Yep.
And so, but yet a lot of people don't know anything about it.
So we've got two of them coming to our next meeting next Thursday, who will be talking to us about what they envision for the city.
Yeah.
And they may or may not seek our endorsement. That's totally up to them.
Totally
they can go through
them.
That process if they like, but we want to hear from them.
And my hope would be that the, you know, the Democrats or, you know, whomever would have them as well to speak, because
if
a well-informed
come,
electorate
willing.
Is good for everybody.
That's right. No, we're definitely willing to do that. Even, like I said, even if they don't want to seek an official endorsement, mm-hmm. we definitely want to hear from them, because that's how we get our PCPs and other people active and involved in their local races. And that's really where it starts.
It is.
And that's the most important place. So. But yeah, there's a lot of disinformation about out there. This one post we were talking about,
yeah,
I think we only got a couple minutes, but I'll just mention it real quick.
Sure.
Basically saying these should all be nonpartisan, and what's the county Republican Party doing involved in this kind of stuff? And I'm just like, really? Okay, this guy is a mouthpiece for a group, right?
Yes.
Progressive Salem.
Exactly.
Who did what? They spent $100,000 trying to switch our, you know,
and the
our school board races over to the Progressive Democrats.
Right, side. And the banner on the website says their whole goal is to elect Progressive Democrats to local
right.
offices.
And yet we shouldn't
and
be
yet
involved
we should. So it's just, it's
rather silly. It's hypocrisy on steroids.
It is.
It's nuts.
It is. And so, you know, we need to push back on that. That is misinformation.
Oh, there's been a couple of those candidates that did push really well.
And that's another thing I'm happy to see, too, is getting out there and engaging when those lies and the misinformation comes up to push back on it. Because that's happened to me as well. And, you know, you've got to.
You need to do
correct
that.
The record here, because it's simply not true.
No, you know, all but, politics is local, and there is no such thing as nonpartisan, I'm afraid. Sorry.
No, there really isn't. There really isn't. And again, these races races pretty much are decided in the May primary.
Yes. And that's the reason we're pushing these guys front and center.
Yeah.
And some of our CD5 stuff, which we had planned to do this time, are going to be next month.
Yeah.
So it's most important.
Yeah, that one is. And so if anybody, we can put information for that meeting as well, if anyone's interested in coming to hear from these two candidates.
Third Thursday,
candidates
DFW
for Ward
Hall.
For Ward 7 and for Ward 1.
Correct.
Yeah, so you can come and learn more about them, and I'm sure they'll do a little Q&A.
That's Northeast Salem, kind of central northeast, and then
Southwest,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's beneficial. And again, you know, you talk about how people that also on the other side of it are interested in running for office many times start at that PCP level, or they start at the neighborhood association level. So,
and that's what we train them to do.
Right.
Because you know, you need a couple of different things if you want to run. You know, you need to have name recognition, right? Then you know who you are, and you need to have some requisite experience. Everything is a policy board, right?
Yes.
Even school board. Mm-hmm. Wife had, you know, sits on the school board's chair this year. Huge awakening to what a school board really does. And a lot of people don't get that.
They don't.
And so she made a comment the other day, and I think it's safe to say, she says, when people say to her, oh, the school board did whatever, she says, yeah, about 90% of the time they didn't.
Yeah.
Because people just don't know what the school board really does.
Right.
They're not, you know, making decisions about a lot of things that a lot of people give them credit or thrash them for.
And it's with the city council as well, what the
Same
scope
thing.
Of city council is.
Right.
And we have a lot of scope creep or mission creep going on in a lot of these councils too, where it's really kind of decidedly boring and dull. It is a lot of just policy, and you know, you tend to go outside that. And I think a lot of people want to rein that back
in. But there's some really important things that unfortunately our city council's done in the past couple of years that has really hurt the region.
Right. And
absolutely.
I know. And I think you're going to see, you know, the pendulum swing back the other way, because I think people are very, you just look at the survey that the city did, and you can see the arc of it just dropping off as far
totally.
As how happy people are. So we are going to take another quick break, and we'll come back again on the other side of the break with Marion County GOP Chairman Jeff Hyen. But right now you are listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires, and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. Sorry.
George? You can call me Lane.
Yeah. Somebody. Thank you.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
Mr. Gansky.
Yes. Okay. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking to Marion County Republican Chairman Jeff Hyen. We're talking all things local politics. We just got done talking really local politics,
really,
Salem City Council.
Really local.
So again, we can't stress enough how important those races are.
Right. And you know, it's unfortunately very, very hard to find someone willing to sit on the city council.
Yeah.
As a volunteer. It's not a paid gig.
It is not a paid gig. In fact, it costs people time and treasure to do these things. And
it does.
I think there's very few. I know Beaverton is a strong mayor. And I actually was looking. I think there was a city representative somewhere that was talking about stipends. And when you look down at some of the cities, Salem offers none. It used to, but they stopped doing it.
School board the same way.
School board is the same way. And again, yeah, you're right. I mean, and the number of hours that go into it. Most electeds, I think, across the state of Oregon put in about 8 hours
at least.
A week.
At least.
Which is an extra work day a week.
It is.
I think up in Metro, it's 50 hours a month. And so when you break down the numbers, I just did another show on the elected demographics. And so, yeah, that's why you see a lot of people who are retired who do
and
it.
If you want to get even more local, there's 21 neighborhood associations in Salem.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
serious.
A lot.
I was chairman of one of them a long, long time ago. And it's very, very difficult to find people to step up in those roles, too.
Yeah.
So, folks, if you want to change what's going on in your city and your state, I can think of no better place than to go knock on your neighborhood association door and serve.
Absolutely.
Okay. And if you want to step up a little more, there's city council and there's school board, water board. In Marion County
there are many, many
alone,
boards and commissions.
Just Marion County alone in 2020, I think there's 70-ish different elected positions and boards and commissions all
that's
over
a
the
lot.
Place.
And that, you know, that's also a resume builder you're
right.
talking about. You have to have name recognition.
It's that record is experience.
And it's network building. It's getting out there, getting people to know who you are so that you can go out because you have to raise money to do these things and people
yes.
need to see a track record in order to want to give you money. But boards and commissions, a lot of times, those are appointments.
They are.
They're
yeah.
not that hard to get on. So if you're interested, that's another way to get into that track.
If you really want to know how something operates, get on the budget committee.
Oh,
serious. I mean,
yeah, I know.
School board has a huge, has a pretty
City
good sized budget
Best,
committee.
Kaiser.
And yeah, I mean, that you want to know how it really runs. That's where you get in there and you see big time.
That and that's why, you know, one of the things we just to circle back a little bit, but with the what the county party did as far as changing the bylaws,
right.
because you need to be able to look at that. So there is a process within the county party now
yep.
to address these races.
We actually
you want to talk
have
a little bit
we
about
have a
that?
Candidate assessment committee mm-hmm. established.
And that's not just for city, that's for
no,
any.
No, it's for any elected body that and someone that wants our we call it either support or endorsement. You can't
mm-hmm.
endorse until after the filing deadlines happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can support.
Mm-hmm.
And so the basics of it are is that the candidate says, hey, I want your support or your endorsement. And they come and we schedule them and they get a few minutes to talk to the body,
mm-hmm.
our central committee.
And it's a rigorous
Well, not that one. That's
process.
That's pretty. There's,
well, that
some, there's some specific questions
okay.
that are asked
okay.
and they get some interaction with the public. But then,
okay.
then the fun
okay.
Then our candidate assessment committee,
okay.
which has some permanent members, but also has members assigned by the region. Like, so let's just say Ward 3 out there, Southeast Salem,
mm-hmm.
right? We get a candidate for that. I'm going to be finding a precinct committee person who lives in that district that
mm-hmm.
served to also serve on that candidate assessment committee, hopefully a few of them.
Yeah.
And then they will have a private meeting with this candidate and they will talk and they will find out, you know, a lot more.
Yeah.
And then their assignment then is to take that information and come back by the next meeting, hopefully a month later,
mm-hmm.
with a recommendation for the body on what we should do. Should we support this person? Should we endorse them if it's time? Or should we say, you know, not this time, sorry. And then the body, of course, can decide by a vote whether they want to take the recommendation of the candidate assessment committee
mm-hmm.
or bring their own. That it's totally up to them. But only people that can vote on that are our precinct committee people
yeah.
that come to these meetings. So if you're not involved, doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican, get involved in your county party, because if they have a mechanism like we do,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if they do or not, they can have a voice in who the party supports.
Yeah.
And in everything, whether it's a partisan race or right down to city council. And that's hugely important. And now some folks may or may not want, you know, the
that's
fine, but it's
that's
there. And we want to spend our time supporting people we believe stand up for our values.
And it's important. And that's the thing. It's the values. It's Chris Ann
right.
Hall saying it's principle
yep.
over party. And,
exactly.
and that's the thing, and especially in these races, these local races where you're really looking at who the person is, how they vote, what they think about certain issues. Do they align with your values?
And a key thing about this candidate assessment committee is it actually allows, believe this or not, the County Republican Party to endorse or support someone who is a non-affiliated voter or even a Democrat in a nonpartisan race.
Right, in a nonpartisan.
That's key. Can't do that on the others. But if it's a truly a nonpartisan race, even though some people say, you know, we can do that.
And without going into too many specifics, I think the impetus for me on this was a few years ago, there was an open seat and there were two Democrats that were running for the seat. One a very far left progressive, one a Democrat, but a pro-business Democrat. And we had no mechanism of saying, you know, in our opinion, the pro-business Democrat would be better in that seat. And therefore, the far left progressive won the seat.
Even our mayor was a great example of that.
Right.
And, you know, Chuck's a great guy. I mean, I have no idea why he's a Democrat still, but he's a great guy and he lines up really good. Yeah, believe it or not, he lines up really good with most of our principles. Yeah. And we wanted to be able to support him.
Right. And we really didn't have a mechanism
because the
for
choice we had at the time was Chuck, who was a reasonable guy, or somebody else who really wasn't. So it was a real obvious choice. And so that gives us the ability to do that.
And that, again, you know, you're talking from the Republican as far as a hub of information, a central place where people, a lot of people don't know, they'll get their ballot and they're not sure who's who. And so to provide a resource for people, you know, the Democrats do the same. I mean, everybody, you have voters guides that come out from all different bodies. Oregon Rights of Life has a voters guide. You know, there's tons of them out there. This is just one more education mechanism to make sure that we have an informed electorate.
Well, and the key thing is there's been so many even Republicans that maybe haven't liked the candidates that they've had to choose from.
Right.
And, you know, and this gives them the mechanism to weigh their voice on changing that.
Yeah.
Or at least have an influence on it. We think we should have an influence on those things. And that's exactly why this whole thing came about. And just an FYI, when we voted on that, there wasn't a no vote in the place.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted that level of engagement.
Well, I think it's because a lot of people are disenfranchised now because I feel like I didn't vote for several years because I didn't feel like my vote mattered.
Well, we had candidates coming up for, you know, primary elections who came from totally left field. We had nothing to do with it. And all of a sudden, it's like, here you go. Here's who you're going to vote for. And we're like, who's that?
Who's that?
Where'd he come from?
Yeah.
We didn't know. Exactly. We don't necessarily like that guy that well, you know, or gal or whoever it is. This gives us the ability to say, yeah, okay, we'll just sit back and let you do whatever. Or if it's somebody we want to get behind enthusiastically, we can do that. And so the whole key behind that is it is the body, I mean, our precinct committee people's decision. It's not mine. It's not the candidate assessment committee. They make a recommendation. Mm-hmm. But it's the body that decides who we're going to support and get behind and who we're not.
And again, that really is it bringing it down to the most local level. And I know we've talked to the other county parties in the state, potentially maybe adopting it. Some have not liked the idea. There's been some pushback on
there's
it.
A little
no
rub,
one's saying that, you know, that county has to adopt it.
Right. It depends on how you look at one of the state rules with respect to being neutral and not treating one differently than another.
Right.
We feel we're in compliance because we run every candidate through the same ringer.
Mm-hmm.
So we treat them the same.
Nice.
Then from that, we make a decision, but it's an informed one.
For me, it's the empowerment of the PCP. It's the empowerment of the people, really, because it's you're like you said, Dave, you're probably echoing what a lot of people have felt over the years, feeling sort of disenfranchised. I don't have a say. I feel like and it's not true. The Republican Party does not pick the candidates that go through. That's a weird thing that's out there.
It's a big myth.
That's wrong. But I do hear the sentiment that I don't feel like I have a voice. And, you know, you and I have talked, and I've talked about, you know, when we've got empty seats that need to be filled, that's where the PCP role comes in. But this is another one, again. And I like how you've got it, especially for like a city council or a district. You're bringing in PCPs that live there. That are going to be interacting with those representatives, not on a daily basis, but on a more regular basis. And so what they have to say carries some weight in their opinion. And I think, and also fostering that relationship between the representative and the constituent, because it is a relationship.
Well, one of those goals we have for our precinct committee folks is to get into their local, the folks that live over in Silverton. Hello, I'm talking to you. Have you been to your city council? Have you been to your school board lately? My goodness, there's some interesting stuff going on over there.
School board, whoa.
We should touch on that a minute if we have time.
Sure.
In short, the same group we talked about here local, Progressive Salem, well, they created a branch over in Silverton. And they took over their school board.
Oh, wow.
And now there's a whole bunch of formal complaints and other things coming on how those people have been mismanaging that school board.
Wow.
And the people over there are hot.
I would be.
So, you know, all politics is local, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you have that influence, and they funnel a bunch of money on getting those folks, you know, elected over there, just like they did here.
Again, OrStar, man.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful tool.
It tells you the story.
If you want to know what's, follow the money. That's absolutely right.
$100,000
just in the Salem-Kaiser school board races last year.
Again, volunteer positions. These used to be things where you could get a couple of yard signs, go knock some doors with some pamphlets. And now you're, you know, you're looking at multi-million, oh my gosh,
so
$100,000 races.
That's the key, though. We want people to engage. What's going on locally? Yeah. I mean, you had the whole half of the city council in Almsville flip a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Because the people wanted to change it.
Yeah.
They got involved and they did it.
Well, and unfortunately, politics has sort of invaded everything. So people are more aware of politics and following. And of course, there's some very big, visible problems in Salem right now. We've got, you know, homelessness issues that we're dealing with. We get the third bridge was killed, and there's a lot of people that are unhappy with that. And so there are a lot of issues that are on the ballot, regardless of who the candidate is. Those are on the ballot.
Well, there
with
was
them.
A really, really wise guy who lived way long ago that says if you don't involve yourself in politics, you'll ultimately end up being ruled by your inferiors.
Nice.
We're here.
On that note, let's take our last break before we come back. We're talking to Marion County Republican Chairman Jeff Hyen. We are going to take that break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lindmonton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back, everybody. We are at the end of an hour again that goes by way too fast.
Way too fast.
Way too fast. So again, we're talking to Marion County Republican Party Chair Jeff Hyen. And let's, you know, just kind of recap again. We got this big event coming up
Oregon
a week from Friday.
Grassroots United.
Yes. So let's remind everybody who the groups are.
So if you are a part of the Oregon Republican Party, Timber Unity, Slavic Vote, Western Liberty Network, Freedom Believers, which is our Russian and Slavic, or Russian Old Believer group.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom Believers, that's them again. Oregonians for Medical Freedom,
mm-hmm.
we all know who they are.
We do.
And Oregon Firearms Federation and Slavic Vote.
Okay, wow.
It's going to be a good time. We need all people to come to that. Again, you get your tickets. You can get them through links on our Facebook page.
And, we'll link up to that
and all
show
of that.
Notes.
But you can go to secure.oregon.gop.
He's going to say it again.
OGU. Got to get it out there. We need people to get it. Only $18. All proceeds go to support Connections 365, a great local charity.
Which is great. And I think this is going to be a great evening for networking, for meeting people. I know Todd Stoffel, Timber Unity is going to be there.
Yep.
He's been on this show talking about the work that they've done.
Yep.
I anticipate that everyone is going to be gearing up for 2020, and I think this is a good time.
I think you're going
to
have Senator Bart Shiger there to speak on behalf of the Senate, and I think a surprise for your House, maybe.
Oh.
And a really, really joyful MC. It'll be a good time.
Wink, wink.
A wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
No, that's not me. Not me. But that's going to be a great event. And it's important because we need all these groups. They're imperative.
Yes.
In helping to keep Oregon a freer place.
And
to
it does show the power of unity.
Totally.
And bringing many, many different groups. You know, one group I we've talked to last year that kind of got hit with the same thing was the vaping community when all that was coming down with that sort of that, you know, with a stroke of a pen, let's just put these people out of business. And you're finding there's people's livelihoods, their way of life, and it's sort of being treated very cavalierly in some respects. You know, well, we'll have, you know, green jobs for them. Well, no, this is like family history. These are fourth and fifth generation Oregonians. These are families that have been here. This is a way of life.
And again, I wonder how many of those vaping places actually didn't recover.
There's a great number.
There's
of them.
A great
when
number
they,
of them
when
that
they
didn't.
Passed that temporary ban. There's a whole ton of them that closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And never reopened.
Nope.
And never reopened. Nope. And we had Jason Weber on one of the organizations and a vape shop owner, too, and, you know, very passionately going out there and advocating. I mean, it just seems to be done so blithely. Well, they'll find something else to do. You know, and I think people are tired of that sort
tell
of arrogant.
That to, tell that to your trucker or your farmer.
Right.
You know, find something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And February 6th, look out. Big, big.
So if you remember
the big rally last year.
Yes. And so that was spectacular. I just think that
we'll
was spectacular.
There. There's going to be all these groups and more will be there for that. It's going to be a kick in time. So
I think anybody, you know, within the sound of our voices who's followed this, who kind of kept an eye on it, and you need to get more engaged, you want to get more engaged, this is the opportunity.
Yeah, all the groups will have folks there you can talk to about getting involved in their communities. But the goal is to bring us all together to work in unison to, you know, to keep our state freer. I mean,
that's Thursday, February 6th?
No. You're confusing two events.
Yeah,
Oregon
right.
Grassroots
there's so much
United.
To, yeah,
that's the
17th.
Yes.
February 6th is the Timber Unity Rally.
That's
and there's
what
a whole
talking.
Bunch yeah. of other people that are rallying on the same point, too.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so, going to be, that's down at the Capitol.
And yeah.
this
that,
is in Kaiser, Oregon Grassroots United, Friday
this
the
17th.
Next Friday.
And this is kind of in gearing up for that as
it,
well,
it is.
Because that helps. And you know, you have to, there's these, many of these groups don't necessarily share 100% on everything, but it's the power of unity and coming together where
share,
you share the core principles.
They share one thing, the desire for freedom in Oregon to do what they want to do and be free.
Yeah.
And that's the key. Totally the key behind that.
And I think, you know, most Oregonians, well, a lot of Oregonians believe the same
and are
fed up and have watched this and, you know, maybe have been sitting on the sidelines wanting to get more involved. And here's the opportunity to do it.
It doesn't matter what party you're part of.
It
you
doesn't.
You want to get involved in that.
In fact, the largest growing is the non-affiliated because people are disenfranchised and really sort of disgusted with both.
So I got to do one thing.
Okay.
I cannot forget to my wife, Marty, happy birthday, sweetheart.
Aw. Happy birthday,
29
Marty.
Again.
29 again. You look marvelous, darling.
Marvelous, darling.
Awesome. Marvelous.
Well,
I hope you're doing something special tonight
for
the lovely Marty.
Whatever she wants.
See? That's a smart man.
Been married a long time. I know the answer.
Yes, you do. Well, this has been a chock full of all kinds of information.
Never enough time.
So again, I want to encourage people, we are going to link up in show notes, so we'll have all that, so you don't have to remember that really long URL that Jeff so kindly...
You've got to make them simpler. No slashes.
Tiny URL, 1234. There you go. No, just kidding.
Wow.
But we will link all that up. And again, the organization... And then you can go on, I think, Facebook. I've been seeing social media
is
all over the place.
It's all over,
there
yeah.
is a Facebook page, Oregon Grassroots United. There's links to it on the Marion County page, on their page. I think I've seen all the other affiliate groups. I know whoever's doing the social media for is highlighting each of the groups, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, we're doing that. Every group is going to be highlighted this week.
And they're all going to have tables there, so there's probably going to be some swag. I want to get me some Timber Unity swag.
Stacy up in Washington County has been kicking it on that, and then Tammy here locally just rocking it. So
there's some amazing people that are
Darlene
behind the scenes,
and a whole
that,
bunch of people are just going nuts with that thing.
Yeah, there's good stuff. I saw some which I don't, reusable grocery bags, don't get me started on plastic bag bans, but
a whole nother
I did see the Timber Unity bags, and so it's like, well, if I have to,
they got mud flaps
one,
too.
Do they?
They got mud flaps. Yeah. We'll have swag there too.
Gotta have one of those.
So, Dave, you gonna get tickets and go to this
next Friday night?
I think you need to be there.
Sounds like a good time.
We got show content for the next year with just all the people that are there. There's all kinds of stuff to talk about because, like you said, that we got this February 6th. You were down at the rally last year at the Capitol, and it was a sight to behold.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah,
it's gonna be much bigger this year.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking, because I wanted to make my plans to be there.
And that's the thing. You cannot let up the pressure. We cannot. I think we've learned that we have to be actively
engaged. They're already
engaged.
Forming rally teams to come from all the different parts of the state.
God,
what channel are they going to be on Ham and the CB?
God.
I mean, it's nuts.
I love them. I love them so much. Okay, once again, Jeff Hyen, Oregon or Marion County Republican Party Chair. Thank you so much for being in with us and all this good information. It's good stuff, Dave.
Good to be with you.
I'm going to be there.
All of it be linked on our podcast a little bit later this afternoon.
Awesome.
So.
Thank you, guys.
That's where you'll find it.
Okay.
And the Newsmakers under the podcast at kykn.com.
Perfect.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.